What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, back after a little bit of a break, letting Jess and Eric take over the podcast for the past several weeks as we have been finishing out CUSA basketball season. But I'm back for a special episode where we are going to be talking to our two play-by-play commentators for the men's and women's basketball championships coming up here in Huntsville in just 2 short weeks. So first up, we will talk men's hoops with Matt Warner, who will be doing play-by-play for all of the ESPN Plus games on the men's side. And after that, we'll be talking to Noah Freire, who will be doing play-by-play for all of the women's games at Rocket City Hoops. But before we get into all of that, we have got to do some housekeeping, and I haven't gotten to do it in a while, so I'm pretty excited to tell you about all of the places that you can find CUSA Insider. If you are on social media, you better be following at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And if you are watching the show right now, you have obviously found us on YouTube. But if you're still listening to the show on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music, you can also find us in video form on Conference USA's YouTube page, and that's youtube.com/Conference USA. So go ahead and find us there and enjoy the show. And also, if you're up for it, if you really want to reach out to us, ask a couple questions, give us some recommendations or comments, you can actually reach out to us via email. And that email address is CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right. Another thing that we want to talk about before getting into these hoops interviews that we have coming up here in just a few short minutes, we have another Conference USA championship underway that gets underway this upcoming weekend. Our indoor track and field championships will take place at Liberty University from February 28th through March 1st. We are super excited to get that event underway, and you can actually watch every single second of the action on ESPN Plus. So head on over to our website and find our Championship Central page for the Indoor Track and Field Championship, where you can find all of the information that you're looking for, where to watch, and the results and the schedule and all of the things that you need to know going into the Indoor Track and Field Championship in Lynchburg this weekend. All right, everyone. As always, Conference USA men's and women's basketball has been very exciting this year, and we are very, very pleased and excited to bring you two interviews from some folks who have been calling games all year long and will continue to call games for us in the upcoming Conference USA men's and women's basketball tournaments. So let's go ahead and get into our interview with Matt Warner. All right, Conference USA fans, we have a really fun show in store for you today. As mentioned earlier, we have joining us Eric Jones from our office, familiar face around here, but also on the call with us today, we have Matt Warner, who will be calling all of the men's games on ESPN Plus at the upcoming CUSA Basketball Championships in Huntsville, Alabama. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. Super excited to have you on to talk some men's hoops.
I mean, this is the best time of year, right? Leading right into the conference tournament, March Madness right around the corner. So yeah, a lot of great storylines to talk about this week.
Absolutely. And here in the office, we've kind of been coining the tournament coming up as a Madison County mayhem because things are still not shaken out in this tournament, like how things are going to go with the bracket. We don't know who is going to be the top seed, the 2 seed, the 3 seed, the 4 seed. Everything is up for grabs right now. And it is there are some games that are going to come down to the wire this week and a lot of exciting things happening in Conference USA, including a game that you are actually calling on Thursday. And I'd love to talk about this matchup, Jacksonville State at Liberty, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I've called it the biggest game in Conference USA to this point in the season, and it may well end up being that. Two teams that neither of them were picked to be in this position at this point in the year. Jack State picked to finish 8th, Liberty tied for 5th, and you've seen both of them play so well. And yeah, you talk about that 1-2 seed heading into the tournament. There's a lot of value in that because of that day off you can get after if you assuming you win your first game. So a lot on the line in this game, and then a lot of history as well. Like, people may not know, like, going back to the Ace Sundays, Liberty and Jacksonville State have some history. Liberty had a 45-game home win streak at one point. Jacksonville State came in and beat them here in Lynchburg, gave Liberty their first loss in their brand-new arena. So there's a lot of history on the line as well. Jacksonville State has fared really well against the Flames over the years. And this is a really good matchup of a team that wants to shoot a ton of threes in Liberty, very skilled, versus a Jacksonville State team that just is physical and wants to kind of grind it out. And then obviously they have the best score in this league on their side as well. So it should be a great matchup.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, and even just to talk about the individual performances from some of these players on both teams, obviously Talen Peter at Liberty has been stepping up in a huge way, primarily off the bench too. And it seems like Liberty's just kind of been doing this quietly, just kind of under the radar, this little five-game win streak they've put on. But then you talk about Jerome Pierre Jr., who's leading the conference during league play and scoring and just overall this season. Talk about some of these, you know, these matchups, individual matchups we'll see on Thursday.
Yeah, well, Pierre, and keep in mind, when Liberty lost to Jacksonville State earlier this year, they held him to 9 points. That's the only single-digit scoring effort he's had all season long. And since that game, he's dropped 30-plus three times, right? He has been absolutely unconscious. So it'll be interesting to see if Liberty is able to kind of slow him down a little bit again. Javon Moffmer will probably be one of the guys defending him, I would imagine. And he's a long defender that has given people some problems. We'll see. I mean, Pierre's on he's on another level. But then on the flip side, going back to that first matchup as well, it was Caden Matheny for Liberty. Did not make a shot from the field. I think he was 0-for-9 from the field in that game. He's one of the better shooters in this league. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get going, because that's obviously a big difference maker for the Flames. That was an anomaly for him in this first meeting, being held, you know, not making a shot from the field. So that'll be interesting as well. You mentioned Talen Peter. He's been the real spark off the bench for the Flames all year long, has led them in scoring in conference play coming off the bench. So he's definitely a big weapon as well. And then maybe kind of the underrated matchup would be Mason Nicholson, the big fella in the paint for Jacksonville State, going against Owen Aquino for Liberty. Nicholson has a few pounds on him, but that's going to be a great matchup, seeing those two big guys go at it in the post. We know Jacksonville State wants to try to get it in the paint and beat the Flames that way. So that'll be a fun matchup to kind of keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, talking about these games that are coming up on Thursday, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Currently, as conference standings are today, the 1 and the 2 play each other on Thursday, but the 3 and the 4 also play each other on Thursday. Middle Tennessee at New Mexico State. That game is at 8 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus as well. Talk to me a little bit about those two squads, because don't sleep on them either.
No.
Like I said before, those top four, it's anyone's game.
And I feel like those teams, especially New Mexico State, have been kind of under the radar as well. But Middle Tennessee, I had a head coach in the league tell me he thinks they're the most talented team in this conference. And that says a lot. So yeah, that's a team that's just kind of lurking. They're like, fine, Liberty, Jack State beat up on each other. They'll keep winning. They'd be happy to slide into one of those top two spots. They still get Liberty as well here in about a week. So they've got an opportunity to make some moves. But yeah, New Mexico State's a funny team, because we've seen at times them really not look great, especially on the offensive end. But credit to what they've done defensively. Like, they lock you down defensively. The Filipovic kid who's new to the league, he's fantastic. I love what he can do. He's so versatile. So, like, they win differently maybe than you would expect a team to do. Certainly a team that's right now, what, fourth in the league. But defensively, they are absolutely legit. And then Middle Tennessee, like, they've got a few different guys they can go off at any time. Justin Porter's one of those guys who, and we've seen it. We saw it in the conference tournament last year. Like, when he gets hot, he's on a short list of those guys that can just carry a team for a stretch. He's certainly that way. You know, the Mustafa kid has been a huge lift for them in the paint this year. They really have had to have him, and he's been fantastic. And then you have Kim Weston, who's come off the bench for them. Like, he's a guy that you know, he was on, I think, all preseason, all conference team. Like, he was injured last year, didn't get to play much, but he's a huge weapon as well. So, yeah, they're a team. If they start clicking, and especially Justin Porter, he's kind of the wild card. If it's the right night for him, they can beat anybody in the sleep.
No, I think that's going to be a really fun matchup, especially looking back earlier in the season when they played each other. New Mexico State actually got the win in Murfreesboro there. And I think at the time they had lost 3 straight after starting the year, or starting conference play 3-0. So obviously been a little bit, you know, inconsistent, but huge shout out to the start of the season that they did have, because they may not be in this position they're in right now, sitting there in fourth place.
I've wanted to write them off a couple of times. Like, there have been a couple of times where I've been like, well, they'll probably sink down to that bottom four and play the first day of the tournament. But I mean, credit what Coach Hooten has done with this group and so many new pieces from a year ago. He's gotten them to buy in, certainly on the defensive end, and then they do just enough offensively that they've been able to get to this point.
Well, and you really can't write them off either because, like you said, it's been a little bit up and down. They won a lot. They lost a lot. But they're back on a three-game win streak right now. And they went into Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State, beat both at home, the only team in Conference USA to do that this year. And, I mean, this is going to be a huge weekend for them, I think, because you don't really want to look past it. But, like, if they can get through this weekend, their things are looking better for them as the season finishes up next week. But they do have Middle Tennessee at home, and then they have WKU at home. I know WKU is not the WKU of last year, but can't sleep on that team either because they've been doing a lot of great stuff this back half of this season too.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to look at – go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just saying, and fighting through a ton of injuries as well to get
exactly.
to this.
Yeah. Well, I do want to look at Saturday's games a little bit too. We talked about Thursday's games, but obviously we just said WKU, New Mexico State. A lot of those games don't really pop out to me quite as much. Jacksonville State at FIU, Middle Tennessee at UTEP, La Tech at Sam Houston, which could be a really good one, actually, but with the way that those two teams have been performing in their last several games. But I do want to touch on the other Liberty game that we have this weekend, Kennesaw State at Liberty, Adrian Woolley off of his 10th Freshman of the Week honor this season, ties a Conference USA record. He's going for number 11. He's going for the record next week. He still has some time to get it. But tell me a little bit about that game. I know you're not on the call for that one, but what are you expecting out of this game against Kennesaw State and Liberty this weekend?
Well, that's another two teams that have some history. I mean, Kennesaw knocked Liberty off in the conference championship a couple of years ago to keep them out of the tournament. So yeah, there's some history between these two as well. But they may be the most dynamic 1-2 scoring punch in the league. Certainly, they're in the conversation with Woolley and Cottle. So it's impressive what they've been able to do. And it's a team that, because of that and because of some of that youth, you almost think like, okay, sooner or later, you know, the moment's going to get too big for these guys. They're still, it hasn't at all. And sometimes you hear the phrase, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? And young guys don't know the moment's supposed to be so big. They just go out there and play. And I think you've seen that with them at times this year. They're a tough group. Coach Pettway does a great job with them, getting them ready. And you've seen throughout the year when you thought, okay, maybe this is a time where they're going to slip up a little bit. Maybe they're going to go into a little bit of a funk. It doesn't last long. And, yeah, really impressive bunch. And a team that I think, especially for Liberty coming off what I'm sure will be a very emotional, hard-fought game with Jacksonville State, that is one of those ones you kind of circle and say, well, the Flames have enough left over in the tank. Now, they get an extra day. They play on Sunday. But that's one that you're like, that's kind of your typical kind of letdown situation or scenario. They're going to have to bring it because Kennesaw State is a hungry team. They're certainly talented enough to come into Lynchburg and steal a win.
They're going to have to watch out for that one, too, because you guys have the Middle Tennessee gauntlet of or the gauntlet of Middle Tennessee and WKU next week. Liberty does to finish out the season. So, really key to try and get these two wins this weekend if they want to solidify their spot in the top four, which is crazy, in the top four of the conference standings going into the final weekend of the season. I just do want to say really quick, we talked about there are six teams in Conference USA on the men's side above 500 this year, eight overall above 500. We are doing great things as a league, but we're beating up on each other. Still number nine in the net, according to KenPom, right? But it's been a really fun season to watch. I know you've gotten to call a lot of games. We've gotten to watch a lot of games for sure. But I do want to ask you, I told you before we got on, I didn't want to catch you off guard. We're going to predict some Conference USA superlative winners with you right now, Matt. Are you ready?
Yeah. I mean, you gave me 30 seconds to prep, so I threw it together. So don't hold me to this, but I did the best I could. Yeah. Give me the category. What do you want?
All right. What do you want to do first, Eric?
Let's start. I think we'll go ahead and start with Freshman of the Year here.
We'll throw you a softball.
Yeah, this might be one of the.
Yeah. I think that one's pretty easy. We'll go with Woolley there at Kennesaw State. That's a slam dunk this year.
No doubt.
What a season he's had. I mean, you go back, like, you think about last year, like the all freshman team in the league, there weren't a lot of freshmen that made huge impacts. Like, you looked at that list and it was like, oh, he averaged 4 points a game and he was all like, This is an impact and then some. Like, he has been an absolute beast, and what a thrill it's been watching him throughout the season, because he has carried that team at times, and that's a no-brainer. He's fantastic.
We were joking about it over lunch. There's a chance that the all-freshman team has three Kennesaw State student-athletes on it.
Yeah.
It would
there's
be
a good chance.
Yeah.
It
goes back to what you said, how impressive this season has been for them, because we thought, well, really young, maybe a rebuilding year. No, not at all. Not at all. They're right in the mix.
All right, we agree on that one.
Yeah, good. One for one.
Good one. All right, what's next, Eric? What do you think?
Let's move on. Let's go defensive player of the year.
This to me is, this is always the toughest award to pick because you can go a few different ways. Some people view it as like, oh, it's the big man that has a bunch of blocks. That's a great rim protector or rebounder. Other people look at, oh, it's a guy that leads in steals. So it is a tough award, and it's also tough because it's kind of like that defensive back in football where it's like, oh, he only has two interceptions. Yeah, but they don't throw his way because he locks his guy down. So it's a little bit, it's almost one of those things you have to see. You have to see it on a night-by-night basis to really appreciate it. But I'll go with Otis Frazier from UTEP. He's a guy that I think he leads the league in steals right now. Yep. He's also just outside the top 10 in rebounding. He does everything. He can guard multiple positions, big body guy. So I'll go with him from UTEP. Obviously, they're known for turning people over. I'll go with Frazier there for defensive player.
I love that pick, especially as you mentioned, just the team as a whole. He's obviously that leader on a physical defense that has led a few defensive categories nationally this season. So I definitely love that pick with Frazier.
I'm glad you mentioned UTEP too, because I kind of glossed over them a little bit earlier, but they're sitting there at 7-7 with a matchup against Middle this week, a matchup against WKU. If they can win those two or one of those two, they're sitting pretty too going into the final week of the season.
Definitely plenty to play for them, obviously. An 0-2 week this last week, but still all sorts of...
And they're a scary team because of their style when you get into a tournament setting. We saw it last year. Like, you get them on back-to-back days, and you don't have the legs that you normally do, like with the pressure that they bring on the defensive end. They'll turn you over in a flurry of turnovers just like that. They're a scary team come tournament time, even though I feel like they would probably even tell you they haven't performed as well as they'd hoped this year.
And they're at home for both of those games. Yeah, man, those are two that I should have circled a little bit more heavily when I was talking about them earlier. So glad we got to fill them in there. All right, what do you want to go to next?
Let's go to newcomer of the year.
Okay, so newcomer was tough because you kind of have to feel like you have to split some of these, right? Because there's some guys you could say, well, he could fit multiple awards. I'm going to go with Mustafa from Middle Tennessee as my newcomer of the year. Think about where they would be without him, you know, in the post. Like, they lost the Coleman Jones kid who was their big man a year ago. You're like, oh, man, how are they going to replace him? Well, you bring this guy in, he can give you a double-double any night. Big body, strong on the glass. The transfer in from Coastal Carolina, I believe it was. So I'm going to go with him as my newcomer. Obviously, he's had a great season and has helped put them in a great position coming down the stretch.
Yeah. Well, we are 3-3.
We're in agreement. Let's keep going, though. What do we want next?
Six man? Let's go six man.
Okay. Because this is the one that I think some of us are on the fence about.
Okay, I'm going Talen Peter here. I'm going Talen Peter as the six man. What he's been able to do, leading the Flames in scoring. 33 at night against Louisiana Tech off the bench. He's gone for 30 multiple times this year. He's just been such a great offensive player and shooter, one of the best shooters. I think he leads the conference in three-point percentage in conference play. Here's the other stat I love about him. In conference play, he is third in field goal percentage behind Bacho and Mustafa. Behind guys that are shooting from 4 feet away from the rim, you have Peter launching from three, you know, that's part of his game, and he's third in the conference in field goal percentage, so I'll go with him as my sixth man.
Yeah, I definitely like that pick. Just seeing the impact he can make on a basketball game, it can flip a switch real quick for the Flames there.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your pick, though? Is that what you went with?
Yes.
We talked about a lot of these things over lunch today, Matt. So there were some names being thrown around from several of our staff members, but I think most of us kind of landed on that with you too. Although we don't vote, we're going to put this out there right now. Conference USA staff members or, you know, people who work in this office are not the final decision, although a lot of fans out there think that we are. So the coaches vote on these awards. So I just want to throw that out there.
Sometimes you're probably better suited to vote for these than some of the coaches.
What do you think? You know, it's kind of a coaches SID mix. They all talk to each other, but, you know, hopefully that all turns out to be the right person at the end.
Hopefully,
but it doesn't. It's not our fault.
Yeah, hopefully they do more research than I just did over the last,
30 seconds. All right, who are we? We're missing player of the year and coach of the year. Is that it? Okay, we'll do player of the year first. We'll keep on the student athlete side.
Yeah, I think you got to go Jerron Pierre. I mean, again, this Jacksonville State, we thought they'd be near the bottom of the league at the beginning of the season, and he has completely just turned that around. The most dynamic scorer in the conference by far on any given night. He can drop 30 on you. He can score a variety of ways. And not just his being a great scorer, he's kind of even changed the mindset, I feel like, with that team and given them just a lot of confidence overall. And so, yeah, I think it's right now. Now, granted, if they drop, go on this big losing streak, obviously that could change maybe. But I think he's the clear-cut guy right now.
No, I think he's definitely taken over that leadership role. I know he didn't play at all last year, and now he's coming into this year, and he's just, picking up right where he left off, it seems, when he was at Wichita State and even at Southern Miss and CUSA a few years back. But no, he's definitely, a guy like Kelron House, a freshman on that team, there was a week or so there where he went off, one freshman of the week. Like, you can definitely tell he's making an impact with some of the other guys on this team and these role players. So, yep, I like Pierre.
All right, Matt, coach of the year. I feel like this one might be a little tough depending on what criteria you're looking at, because we've got several teams that are at the top of the conference right now that were picked to be at the bottom of the conference. And it's like, what do you look at when you're looking at who may be the Conference USA Coach of the Year this year?
I go right now, today, as we sit here at 3:21 Eastern time, whatever. I think you go Ray Harper. Again, because of where they were expected to finish, what they have done, how they flipped it, not even the expectation going into this year. Remember how they finished last year. They were eighth in the league last year, lost that first round game to FIU at the tournament. That nothing was going right for them at that point. They flipped this roster. You bring in and find a Pierre, and the way he's been able to get them to all buy in and play to this level. For me, right now, he's the coach of the year.
I think that we're all in agreement with that one, too.
But there's certainly some guys that is a more open maybe category than some of the others that we talked about. That one could certainly change.
Yeah, a lot of the times you see the regular season champion, it end up just being their coach for coach of the year, which, they deservingly. But you see a team like New Mexico State has been battled, as you mentioned, Coach Hooten earlier, has had to rally his guys a whole bunch. Kennesaw State with all the inexperience and they were picked at the bottom of the league, too. They wanted to surprise people, and they have.
Yep.
So, Coach Petway there is all sorts of names you could throw around, I think.
I feel like you could literally make arguments for like almost every coach on this list.
So, yeah.
It's crazy. It is going to be a really fun end to the season, Matt. I want to ask you a couple of questions here just to close us out about your time in Huntsville last year, because this is your second year that you're going to get to call games in Huntsville. What are you looking forward to? It could be game atmosphere. It could be really anything. But what are you looking forward to with Rocket City Hoops coming up in just a few short weeks?
Well, the first thing I'm most looking forward to is apparently the ice under the floor is going to be gone this year.
This is true.
So that's number one. I called games in my winter coat last year. It was chilly. No, but it is an awesome atmosphere. The tournament is run so well, and it's so cool with the different fan bases coming in. The other interesting thing about how this is lining up right now, Jacksonville State's not that far away. Obviously, they're playing great. Middle Tennessee, you've seen what they've done, and what their women have done. So their fan base is invested. So you've got some of these teams that are, pretty easy drive to get there that are playing some good basketball as well. So I'm hoping that brings out those fan bases, as well as year two in Huntsville, the local community there. Now they're more aware of what this is all about, and we can really pack that place out because, when the level of play and the types of games I think we expect to see deserves to have a packed building. You know what I mean? Like the level that these teams have played at this year, the type of talent, we just talked about it, that's going to be on display there, I think deserves to have a lot of people in the building. And I think that's the other thing. I think it was Richie McKay that said the other day, this isn't CUSA, it's ACBA, anybody can beat anybody league, because it is so tight across the board. We've talked about it. And that's what gets me fired up is that, every single game, it could be a 1-2 possession game down the stretch. In fact, if it's not, we're surprised. Like, we're surprised if it's a double-digit, outcome at the end. So that's what gets me fired up. You have a chance to see, I think, one of the most balanced leagues in the country meet on a neutral site, and it's just anything can happen. And so you think back to just a year ago, Western Kentucky, who thought they would do what they did? They went into the tournament on a 4-game losing streak, and yet they got hot and did that. That could be any number of teams. I was looking at the standings earlier, thinking about it. What other league is the second to last place team as feared as Sam Houston is in this league?
Yep.
Who wants them? Who wants to draw them? Nobody wants to see them. Like you can't say that about every other league. So that's what makes Conference USA so exciting, and it makes this tournament in Huntsville so exciting, because it legitimately, you could pick 7 or 8 teams and talk yourself into them having a real chance to win this thing.
I mean, the points margin in the losses across this league this year have been so small. You talked about Sam Houston. What, they've only lost by 9 points or less in every game?
Three overtime loss.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. So, yeah, and they're, you know, at the, if you just looked at the standings, you'd be like, oh, what a, they must not be too good. No, no, they're really good, and they're going to give somebody a run for their money in the tournament.
No doubt.
All right. The Anybody Can Beat Anybody League.
Yeah,
the ACB. I like it. I think that, like, Madison County Mayhem, that little acronym you just gave us, I'm not going to try to repeat it. I'm going to screw it up. But there's going to be some really, really fun, exciting, close games come tournament time for Conference USA, and I am super excited about it. How many games are you calling? Like 12? 14? What are you just saying?
We're calling six. I think we're doing two each day.
I'm thinking about men's and women's games as 12.
Thankfully, Noah Frary will take the women's side, but yeah, we have two games each day, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so we're super excited.
And I'm so glad you mentioned Noah, because we're actually about to talk to Noah about the women's teams. So, Matt, we really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Enjoy calling your game that you have this week. It's going to be a good one. That one, again, is Jacksonville State at Liberty, ESPN+, 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we will see you in Huntsville.
Sounds great. We'll see you there.
All right, Conference USA fans, another interview coming up for you here on CUSA Insider. We talked men's hoops already. Now we're going to talk some Conference USA women's hoops. Joining us today, we have Jessica Radford. She's back on the show. Obviously, she's been holding down the fort here on the podcast. But also joining us, we have Noah Frary, who will be doing play-by-play for all of the women's basketball games at the upcoming Conference USA basketball tournament in Huntsville on ESPN+. So, Noah, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk some women's basketball.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I did want to give a quick shout out to Jess, because she makes us all look good throughout the year with all the great stats about women's basketball. So big thanks to her. And it's been a fun season so far.
We really couldn't do it without our communications staff in the office. So shout out to you. Shout out to Eric on the men's side. But we have figured some things out in women's hoops in Conference USA as far as standings goes. Not quite as tight as it was a couple of weeks ago now, but we have some really great games coming up this week. And Noah, I'm looking at one on the schedule coming up this Thursday that really piques my interest, and that is New Mexico State at Middle Tennessee. New Mexico State currently 8-6. Middle Tennessee sitting in the fourth spot. Middle Tennessee obviously 13-1 on a 9-game win streak. And they are a shoe-in usually for the conference title, but there's a lot of shakeup there at the top this year. So tell me a little bit about this New Mexico State at Middle Tennessee matchup and what may pique your interest in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fascinating matchup. I mean, we've seen some teams this year come close to beating Middle Tennessee State. We saw Western Kentucky pull it off, but New Mexico State was another one of those teams who almost did. They took them to overtime, and MTSU was just a little bit too much in that overtime game. But you get a really fun matchup here. Yes, they're not going to be guarding each other, but Molly Kaiser, who I won't get ahead of myself, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, could be the player of the year in the conference. And then you have Anastasia Boldareva for Middle Tennessee State, who, you know, is having another excellent year. Jalen Gregory, that MTSU team's doing things a lot different this year. Offense isn't as good as it was a year ago. Use it as bulletin board material if you want, but the defense is as good as it gets. They've been incredible in conference play, and they've got a tall task. Molly Kaiser obviously played well against them their first time they met this year, but you know, I like Rick Insel and Middle Tennessee State's ability to maybe make some adjustments against Molly Kaiser this second time around. But as we've seen in Conference USA this year, you never know how these games are going to go.
New Mexico State was the only team to take Middle Tennessee into overtime.
You're right.
I think that they can come into their house at Middle Tennessee and do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a possibility. I mean, the one knock that I would say on MTSU this year is they've, you know, played some close games in the first half. They've trailed in third quarters despite coming out on top. They have been a very gritty team this year, and they found ways to win. But if you get off to a good start against them, you never know. And obviously we've seen Molly Kaiser's ability to kind of take over down the stretch. She did it against MTSU. She nearly brought them back in a game against Liberty as well. So, you know, I'm always going to bet on Molly Kaiser if given the opportunity, but I like MTSU in this game. And I think that they're playing some of their best hoops as we get to the end of the year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Obviously, 9-game win streak for Middle Tennessee. New Mexico State, though, on that 3-game win streak, they're building some momentum going into this game this weekend. So that one, if you want to catch it, is on ESPN Plus at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Should be a good battle for sure. Looking at some of the other games this upcoming weekend, New Mexico State, again, has to face a very good WKU game. They have a gauntlet going into this weekend, I think, on both the men's and the women's side, although men's team WKU isn't doing quite as well this year as they have in years past. But that Middle Tennessee WKU paired weekend trip is a tough one for a lot of teams. So New Mexico State has to go through it this weekend. They got to get through the Blue Raiders first, but then they go to the Hilltoppers, and that's going to be a fun one too.
Yeah, I think it will be. And Greg Collins' team at Western Kentucky is playing some excellent basketball right now. Yes, they got off to a little bit of a slow start to their season in non-conference play. And even I think the same way could be said about their start to conference play. But since then, they are playing as good as any team in this conference. You take down Western Kentucky, and they could arguably make the case that they're the deepest team in this conference. I think Liberty should be in that discussion, but Western Kentucky, you've got that three-headed monster at guard, and then you know the emergence of Josie Gilvin. You've got Telegdi coming off the bench. So that's an extremely talented Western Kentucky team that is going to be tough to beat, you know, this weekend. But I think that they're a team that everyone should have circled as a potential team that's going to make it to that championship game in Huntsville in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at Thursday's schedule. Personally, not a ton pop out to me super, like as much as those two do. But obviously, you're going to be watching closely as the Flames, who is the team that you do play-by-play for most of the time, are they're going to that Jack State, Kennesaw State gauntlet this weekend. But then you look at next weekend, and that's really what I want to talk about. Liberty at home taking on WKU, Middle Tennessee, and that is going to be for some really important conference tournament seeding. So let's talk about those two games. Let's talk about those squads. We haven't talked as much about Liberty yet. We talked a lot about Middle, a lot about WKU. But what are you seeing out of the Flames this season that make you think that they could take the top spot going into the tournament?
Yeah, well, before we get to that, I do want to shout out one game that's coming up this week that I'm actually really excited about, and that's the Louisiana Tech-Sam Houston game.
Oh, my gosh. Me too.
It's worth talking about because Louisiana Tech has been really tough to beat at home. Only, you know, Middle Tennessee State has cracked that code in the last year. Mm-hmm. They take down Liberty on their home court. But Sam Houston's playing some really good basketball right now, and they've got themselves up to kind of that seven seed. If you look at the projections for the bracket right now, if you keep winning, you could jump up and get your way out of that first day of the tournament. So I think that one has some big time implications, and it's a fun little matchup with some guards there and some good post play. So, but to get to your main question, and I think the main entree in these last 2 weeks of Conference USA play, it is that Liberty MTSU game. Yes, you can look back to the game in early January where MTSU just absolutely wiped the floor with Liberty. That was, you know, a game that the Liberty coaching staff would tell you was an embarrassment with how it turned out. But since then, Liberty has gotten a lot deeper on their bench. They've got some players that are contributing at a big-time clip, and I think they're a different team than they were in January. And the same can be said for MTSU. This is a team that is loaded with top-level weapons. You look at Jalen Gregory, you look at Tamia Scott, you look at Boldareva. The list goes on and on. They probably could get two, maybe three on the first-team all-conference this year. So this is an elite matchup that ultimately is going to decide, you know, who's the one seed. If MTSU wins it, then they're the shoe-in to be the one seed in the tournament in the conference. If Liberty wins, they'd be tied with MTSU, and then you'd need to beat Western Kentucky to be the one seed coming up that, you know, that next week. So it's a fascinating matchup. Depth versus, you know, maybe six or seven players that Rick Ensel you know, regularly plays. But at the end of the day, MTSU has had Liberty's number since they joined the conference.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
I'm so excited, too. I think me and Eric, we talk about this each week, how deep Liberty's benches, just their roster, right? What's that? Was it 11 out of 14 of their players is averaging 5 or more points?
Yeah. And to add to that, I mean, Liberty, you know, at last check, and it's been a couple of days since I checked, they're a top 13 team in the country in terms of bench scoring. And so you have the high-level performers, you know, the starters for them, the Emma Hesses, the Bella Smutas, Asia Boone, the, you know, reigning freshman of the year. They've got some nice pieces in that starting lineup, but their ability to go maybe 9-10 deep, I think, is what makes them such a dangerous team, you know, down the stretch of the season, but particularly come tournament time, where you're going to have to win 3 games in probably 4 or 5 days to be champions. And I think depth could play a big role in that down the stretch of the year.
Absolutely. I'm, like I said, I'm super excited to tune into that one. To be very honest with you, I don't have what time it's at on in front of me. So you may know that better than me. Are you on the call for this?
You know, I'm actually not. I'm actually calling the Sun Belt tournament next week. And so I'm traveling down to do that. But I will be tuned in. And from what I am seeing right now, that game is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on ESPN+.
There you go. There it is right there. Well, I gave you some notice. Matt and I were joking about this before. He's like, thanks for giving me 30 seconds notice to figure this out. But we're going to talk about your predictions going into the final week of the season for who your CUSA superlatives would be, superlative winners would be on the women's basketball side. So we're just going to go down the list one by one. You're going to tell us what you think, and then we'll tell you if we disagree with you. So, Jess,
that's great.
But Jess, which one do you want to do first?
Okay, well, you mentioned player of the year, but we'll make that one last. Okay. We can go in depth about Kaiser, but let's start with newcomer of the year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fascinating one. And, you know, maybe for people who aren't familiar with the criteria, and Jess, I had to reach out to you earlier this year to get some clarification. But, you know, people on Kennesaw State not eligible despite being new to the conference. And, you know, you think of Courtney Blakely at MTSU, who comes over from Arizona. She was with the program in the past, so she wouldn't be eligible for this award. But for me, it comes down to, you know, a couple of players on FIU, and that's Paris Atkins, who has been fantastic this year, although she's been out of the lineup lately. And then you have, you know, their great center that I think could, you know, play a massive role in that. You think of Sam Houston and Ogayemi that could play a role. But, you know, right now it's Izzy Natabo for me. She has proven in a conference that has a lot of great bigs. You think of Boldareva, you think of Smuda, that I think she's the best big in this conference. When you give her the ball inside, she can just do absolute work. She's been fantastic and has really been asked to do a little bit more due to the injuries that FIU has had. So Izzy Natabo would be my newcomer of the year in the conference.
I definitely agree with you. I would say Izzy as well. What she's fourth in scoring right now. She's fifth in rebounding. She's first in CUSA in field goal percentage. And she has stepped into that role of Maya Konei, our preseason player of the year, when she went down after their first game. And I think she just stepped into a big role, right? Like you said, I don't think she was expecting to be as much of a role maker as she is now, but she has embraced it and she doesn't miss for the Panthers. And I think that's why she is the main reason of they are even in the conversation of the middle of the pack right now. So she has been holding the Panthers together.
Yeah, I mean, she has, with all of those injuries that Jessica Burks-Wiley has had to deal with. You lose Tanasia Hayes, you lose Maya Konei, as you mentioned. It's been a really tough year, but they, you know, have some pieces to maybe make a run at the tournament if, you know, seeded against the right team. So she's been fantastic this year. Where else are we going?
All right, what do we want to do next? Ooh, easy or hard?
This one might be hard. This one really might be hard. Sixth woman of the year.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that, wife.
Do you want to just pick an entire bench? Because you might be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if we were going entire bench, I think Liberty is kind of deserving of sixth woman of the year if you're going entire bench. But if you're going to put me on the spot and ask me to pick a player, I think what Sophia Telegdi has done for Western Kentucky lately has been incredible. I mean, we saw her hitting three after three against MTSU in that loss the other day. But, you know, I think she's been fantastic and has really been an excellent complement to, you know, a loaded starting lineup that Greg Collins has right now. So if you had to pin me down today, I think I'd go with Telegdi for Western Kentucky.
I actually would say that too. Or we talked previously a little bit before this. Josie Gilvan, she's definitely in the starting lineup now because she has been doing tremendous for the Lady Toppers. But Sophia, what'd she make? 6 of 11 threes, yeah, in that Middle Tennessee game. She can go off for the Lady Toppers. And I think when you have such a depth bench like that, but where you can still be a key maker,
yeah,
it's definitely beneficial.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, her ability to contribute in so many categories. I mean, she's had a triple-double this year. She's been special. So it's going to come down to what the coaches decide, and that is one that I think will be a little bit more challenging, but I'm excited to see who ultimately comes away with it.
All right. Let's go with an easy one. I think it's easy anyway. Freshman of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that probably is one of the easier ones. You know, for me right now, Paris Bradley for Louisiana Tech has to be the, you know, the odds on favorite. I'm not even sure how many time conference player of the week she's up to.
Six.
Five or six. Yeah. So, you know, she's been incredible this year. You look at the performance that she just put together in her last game. She's been really special. And I got to see, you know, her up close when Louisiana Tech came and played Liberty. And, you know, she nearly willed them back in that fourth quarter. So she's a special piece. I think if you want to throw someone else in that conversation, you know, Avery Mills for Liberty has been really good this year. I think Emmy Stout has been great for Liberty as well after they lost some post players to injury. But I think Paris Bradley's kind of the runaway favorite, much like we saw Asia Boone for Liberty last year.
All right. That was an easy one.
That was easy. But I also want to point out at the beginning of the season, if you would have told me to pick, I would have said Jordan Marshall from Louisiana Tech because yeah. She had two straight freshman of the weeks. What, she's almost averaging a double-double. She is really doing so well for Louisiana Tech. I think same thing with Kennesaw for the men's side.
Yeah.
You, Eric, Matt just talked about how they have three freshmen that are doing really, really well for them. Louisiana Tech has three freshmen that are doing well for them. And if we can pick a freshman, all freshman team, it's definitely those three players from Louisiana Tech. It's Ed Stout, it's Avery Mills from Liberty. That's my guess for the freshman team.
I think that's pretty fair. I mean, you look at Isla Airy and Jordan Marshall, Paris Bradley, Emmy Stout, and Avery Mills. I think if you picked five right now, those would probably be my top five freshmen. So I think you're spot on, Jess.
Boom, I hope I'm right. You coaches better agree with me.
I made this disclaimer when we talked about it. I'm just going to do it again. We don't vote on conference players of the year. We don't vote on the all-conference team. We leave that up to the coaches. Don't get mad at us on social media. It's not our fault. All right, well, moving on. Let's see. Do you want to do defensive next?
Yeah, let's do defensive.
I think y'all are going to disagree, so I am really excited to watch this play out.
I'm interested. I mean, you might have to moderate this one, Sarah, but
ready.
You know, for me, it could be low hanging fruit, but I'm going to take the player that is leading the nation in a category. And it's a pretty important category. And Anastasia Boldareva, you know, for MTSU, she leads the nation right now in block shots. She's, you know, by far and away the all time leader, you know, in that category in MTSU history. So, you know, for me right now, she's that defensive player of the year. And I think, you know, to combat maybe some of what Jess is going to say in a second, she is that player that when she is in the paint, no one wants to go in the paint because she can affect every shot that is taken. And even, you know, balls that she does not block, she's going to affect. She's going to force that smaller guard to maybe pull up, you know, a step or two sooner. So her ability to impact a game defensively, I think, is what sets her apart. But I'm definitely excited to hear Jess's case for, you know, who she thinks is the defensive player of the year.
Okay, first, we don't disagree with you.
Yes. Yeah, I was about to say, I wholeheartedly 100% agree. But she does have some competition in my eyes because one person that will go on the paint is Princeton Harden from Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
And I don't think she is scared of anybody. Well, she just got her 14th and her 15th double-double of the season. She leads Conference USA. She just tied the single-season record for Kennesaw State. She goes up and she gets rebounds. And I think we just talked about this on the men's side, too.
Yep.
What do you categorize as defensive player of the year? Are we counting blocks, steals? Are we counting rebounds, right? And I think it's just up to coaches, up to our media, who, you know, is totally up to them. But I definitely think that Harden is in the running for defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a good case because, you know, a rebound can act as a defensive stop, and her ability to crash the glass on the offensive side as well as the defensive side this year has been pretty much unmatched in this conference. But, you know, I think to your point, for me, she's probably more in the conversation, you know, for player of the year, which I know we'll get to in a moment, than defensive player of the year. But I think she's at least worthy of being in that conversation.
Yep, absolutely. Now, very rarely, as we see, you know, the back end of things, does somebody get all the votes? So you never know. It's probably going to be scattered around across a couple of people. But let's go ahead and talk about player of the year. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. We just mentioned it with Princess Harden as being in the running for that. But you talked about Molly Kaiser earlier in our conversation. And I think that Jess and I both agree. Mm-hmm. She is a shoe-in for that one, or at least should be at the top of the conversation for that. Molly has been doing some amazing things this year. We actually had her on the show earlier this season.
Loved her.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was just so fun to talk to her.
Yes. Just a great pillar, a great person.
Yeah, I mean, she has been fantastic, and I've had a number of opportunities to talk to Jody Adams, you know, behind the scenes about what Molly Kaiser brings to that program. And, you know, if a player, if MVP means most valuable player, I think you have to look at how valuable she has been to that team. Would, you know, New Mexico State be anywhere close to the team that they are without her? You know, last time I looked, she was one of five players in the country that had had more than five 30-point games this season. She was actually ahead of Juju Watkins at the time, who, you know, many think could be the national player of the year in college women's basketball. So Molly Kaiser's been special. I think the only question that you have to ask yourself, if you're being fair here, is how much does winning matter? And if winning matters, then someone like a Boldareva or a Jalen Gregory could certainly get themselves into the conversation. But if you're voting purely on statistics, which in this case I would be, I think Molly Kaiser has been by far and away the best player in this conference this year.
Yep, I do. I think, again, it takes you have to take a second and look at what you think the criteria is. We don't necessarily give criteria. It's just like, who do you think is the player of the year? And personally, you kind of take that into account on what you're thinking is going to be the needle mover, I guess, when it comes to your vote. But I agree with you. Molly Kaiser, absolutely incredible stuff this year. That would be my vote, too. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, she's 10th nationally in scoring right now, right? Through all games, not just USA. She has 21.4 points per game. And it's just, like you said, if they didn't have her...
She's a difference maker, for sure. I mean, they wouldn't be sitting number four in Conference USA, that's for sure.
And to have five 30-point games. And like I said, I think I said this, impressive. And last week I said, I don't think they've lost when she scores 30. Probably won during non-conference. But all of her conference games where she scored 30, they're not losing. At all.
Yeah, if I remember right, I think she scored 30 against Liberty and they still lost, but I'm not 100% certain on that. So I think you might be right, but I would want to check that one.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the other. Is this the last one? We have one more Coach of the Year,
oh, yes.
I think, is our
Coach
last one. Ooh. And we talked about this on the men's side, too, because this is one of those, too. You got to look at the criteria. Is it taking a team that was supposed to finish near the bottom of the conference and finishing near the top of the conference? Is it taking a great group of players and keeping them great and doing amazing things in Conference USA? It's all about the criteria. It's all about what you think is worth it for being Coach of the Year. And so I'm just curious to hear your thoughts. I don't even know, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. So,
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you look at someone like Rick Ansel, who is in this conversation. A year ago, his team was undefeated in conference play. They beat everyone by a mile and he didn't win it. So I do think there are some voters, and last year the voters chose Jessica Burks-Wiley, and rightfully so, I believe. After the season they put together, it was one of the best in recent program memory. But I know if I had a vote, I am the type of person that believes that excellence should be, you know, rewarded. And I think what, you know, Rick Ansel has done at MTSU is very deserving of Coach of the Year. I think the one tough thing is that when you're great for so long, I do think voters get fatigued. And so you don't want to just continue to give it. But I see these polls come out preseason and postseason, and sometimes I think people overthink. But, you know, Rick Ansel's team, especially if they go in and they beat Liberty on Liberty's floor, they are by far and away the number one seed going into the tournament. They've done so much this year. Their defense has been one of the best in the country. He is the Coach of the Year for me in this conference.
I think that would be the way I would lean also. I'm a Tennessee native, and so I have followed Middle Tennessee for a long time. And I also went to Alabama, which is one of those schools that's like everyone's tired of them, of people talking about them because they've been great for so long. And so I kind of get where he's coming from. But he has done amazing things with this squad over the past since they've been in Conference USA, really. He takes a great group of girls and makes them even better and goes out and wins games. And you can't fault that, I don't think so.
Yeah. But I let me just add one thing here, Justin, then I'll let you jump back in. You know, what I would say is if Liberty beats MTSU, beats Western Kentucky, they would be 3-1 over the 2-3 seeds in this tournament. I think Kerry Green should very much be in that conversation. So I'm not even sure you can fully say that award has been decided yet until those games take place next week. And then, you know, based on maybe the results of that, you can make an accurate choice on Coach of the Year in this conference.
He just took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to say that. Yes. No, it's okay. But I think also somebody who can be under consideration is Greg Collins, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they didn't have the start that they wanted to during conference play. But how they have been playing recently, and not just offensively, defensively, too. Mm-hmm. They have one of the best defenses. Probably Middle Tennessee, then it's WKU. Honestly, it might be Sam Houston. But Sam Houston record doesn't reflect that. But Sam Houston defense is really, really good.
Yeah.
But WKU's is up there as well, right? And it's just, how do you base it off of? How do you look at it? Because Greg Collins, he also has scores. He also has people who will win games for him, too. Yep. So very, very interesting. And like we said, I think it's going to come down next week for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. In general, I feel like the general public likes it when a team rises from the ashes. And WKU has certainly done that at times this season after having all those injuries and things like that. But, okay, Noah, anything else in Conference USA Women's Hoops that we haven't talked about that you think that the world needs to know? I know one of them mm-hmm. is how tough we are on the road. And you've got some stats to back it up. I don't know if you have them in front of you, but I saw you tweet them this weekend. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has to be talked about. You know, one of the most interesting things when you look at the numbers this year is how tough it has been to play on the road in this conference. And, you know, a lot of coaches will chalk that up to the amount of travel that they have to do, the quick turnarounds. But, you know, I think it's worth giving credit to a lot of teams in this conference that play extremely well at home. And when you look nationally, Conference USA this year is statistically the toughest place on the women's basketball side to play on the road. They're the only conference with under a 300 winning percentage. And then what gets even a little bit more fascinating there is when you look at the second half of a weekend, when you play on that Saturday game, road teams are something, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're like 10-25 this year. It's like a 283 winning percentage. So I think that's been fascinating and certainly could play, you know, a big role. We talk about next weekend and Liberty facing MTSU at home versus being in Murfreesboro. You think about Western Kentucky then having to play on, you know, the second half of a back end after a trip down to Miami, how that plays in. So it's fascinating. Obviously, you know, teams like Liberty and Western Kentucky and MTSU, they do a great job at, you know, holding home court. I think you have to throw Louisiana Tech in there as well. But, you know, for me, that's been fascinating. And I think just overall, the competitiveness that you have seen on the women's side this year, there's been a number of games that, you know, have kind of made me raise my eyebrows. Yes, maybe they didn't turn into wins for teams. But, you know, I really think from, you know, maybe 1-8 in this conference, any of these teams could win a game in Huntsville and maybe make a run. So I think that's what has me most excited about, you know, getting to Huntsville and watching this tournament, because it's fair to say that this is going to be one of the most competitive tournaments in the country in a couple of weeks.
Much agreed on that one. You kind of stole my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So this is year two of you in Huntsville, Rocket City Hoops, play-by-play on all the women's contests on ESPN+. And we've been calling it Madison County Mayhem because, you know, it's going to be crazy on both the men's and women's side in Huntsville in just a few short weeks. But Noah, what are you looking forward to at Rocket City Hoops in 2025, whether it be the play of the game, the atmosphere in the stadium? Matt mentioned that there's not going to be any ice on the floor. We're not to be covered. Yes, the court is not going to be laid over ice this year, so it's going to be much more, the climate in the building will be much better this year. But what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of touched on it. I think just the overall competitiveness of this tournament. I mean, even last year, we saw some great games and we saw fans come out. And I even think heading into year two that we will probably see more fans there, which to me is exciting, you know, particularly on the women's side. That's the side that I'm going to get to call alongside Kelly Deo and Annie Corey, who will be our sideline reporter. And, you know, I'm just excited. And there's a ton of great storylines in this conference. You mentioned earlier on, like what Louisiana Tech has been able to do with a bunch of freshmen. You know, Liberty can be in that conversation, a veteran heavy team that's trying to chase, you know, their first championship as a collective group. And obviously MTSU trying to make it back to the NCAA tournament after making a run last year. And then you touched on it earlier with Western Kentucky and how that program has turned things around, you know, after a rough start to conference play, and is probably the team that no one wants to play in this tournament, if I'm being honest. So I think there's a lot of teams that could win this. You know, yes, I like Madison County Chaos. I think, you know, Huntsville Havoc could maybe be in that. And I actually think that is the name of the ice hockey team. So it is. Yeah. But I'll steal that. But I think we're going to see a lot of great performances in Huntsville. And I'm always, you know, I love this time of year because, you see, you know, the pure jubilation from one side, and then on the other side, you see tears. And that's because seasons have come to an end, careers have come to an end. And I think when you add in that emotion to a tournament, it just makes it so much more meaningful. And obviously, Conference USA does such a great job with, you know, putting together the tournament, managing it. I had a great time in Huntsville last year, and I'm looking forward to being back there in a couple of weeks.
Well, we will all be there to welcome you with open arms. We're excited for it, too. Again, Noah Frary, thank you so much for joining us. Calling the Sun Belt Championship next week, but calling the Conference USA tournament the weekend after that, I'll say it so you don't have to, saving the best for last. All right. Thank you, Noah, for joining me.
Yeah, thank
you. We will see you in just a few weeks. Huge thank you again to Matt Warner and Noah Frary for joining us here on CUSA Insider. We'll be seeing them again in just 2 short weeks at the 2025 CUSA Men's and Women's Basketball Championships in Huntsville, Alabama. We are super excited for our championship that will take place March 11th through the 15th. Come and join us for a Tuesday through Saturday full of action. Conference USA Hoops has been a lot of fun to follow this year, and it will continue to be fun over the next 2 weeks. We've got games coming up this Thursday and Saturday. We've got our final weekend of games next Thursday and Saturday, and we will be releasing our conference tournament bracket on Saturday, March 8th. So be on the lookout for that. All right, everyone. A couple of short things again, just to reiterate them from the top. Make sure you're following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Make sure you have found us on YouTube at Conference USA, and go ahead and enjoy the show, watching the show for once. I know that you've been listening to audio for so long, it may be a difficult switch, but come and join us on YouTube, and you can find us at youtube.com/Conference USA. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always email us at CUSAinsider@ConferenceUSA.com. All right. It has been so fun to be back again with you guys. Hope to do it again soon. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.